I'll tell you why. This paper was actually given to me by my father the year we were married, my wife and I. It's directions home. For that, it meant I get to go down and say, y'all. It's directions back to literally Page Circle in North Carolina. Fairview, Fair Bluff. Why is that significant? Well, it's my dad's handwriting. The last piece of paper I have with his handwriting. It's directions home. Managed to hang on to it for 26 years. but I got to tell you, as much as that means something to me, this is my Heavenly Father's writing on how to come home. I can't help but get emotional to know my Heavenly Father wants me to come home. He wants me to know Him. Wow. With that in mind, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to put your finger on the text as we read it and take a look at it. So Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. Paul writes, "So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Last week, I drove a van that was just donated to the camp here to church. If you had seen me leave after we had lunch, you would have saw me pop open the hood of the vehicle, prop it up, and there's this little lever that's hooked to the battery. This van particularly had been converted from a conversion van to a handicap van. So they had this massive lift in there that would open up the doors and eventually reach out and put a ramp so you could roll right up it. Somebody hooked it up wrong. And that meant if you didn't unhook the battery every time you turned it off, the battery was drained by this massive lift. And so every time you stopped, you would take this lever and flip it up and disconnect the battery. Well, the first time I hopped into it, I started it and went, thump, nothing. Until I read the directions. And it was donated to us by an adult home. And in there, the first direction was, open the hood and hit the lever. went on to say, don't forget Tony. Tony was the particular man who had to ride in that vehicle with his wheelchair. And the fun part was, is when you got somewhere, it said, and don't forget Tony. Apparently that happened. I'm not sure how, but the owner wanted to make sure you didn't forget Tony. But that lever, without flipping that lever, the van didn't work. No matter how much I might wish, no matter how good my will towards the van might be, it didn't work. I think a lot of times as believers, we attempt to live for Christ without ever flipping the switch and being connected to God. I know as a culture, you constantly hear this too. You hear this. Somebody passed away. Well, I'm having good thoughts for you and towards your family. That's nice. It really doesn't do me any good. It doesn't do you any good. It's not good thoughts. It's being connected. So today, we're going to look at the second part of transformation. It ultimately comes when we're connected. Connected to that source of power, which is, there's only one. That's God. So, our text. Verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Paul's insisting on this. Believers, do not live like you're dead. Literally, that's what he's saying. Verse 18 talks about this darkness and ignorance that takes place when you're dead. I taught school for a couple of years. My undergrad was in elementary ed. And as you study, one of the things that they constantly talk about, and I went to a public college, they constantly talked about this. Our hope in the future is education. It's not. I'll tell you why. You can have 3 doctoral degrees and know all the facts in the world, or at least know more of them than anybody else, and still be absolutely ignorant. Maybe that's not a nice word. But it's true. See, I am ignorant if I do not know the divine meaning or the purpose of all the facts that I might shove in my head, or know how they relate to eternity. We see it in our culture now. As we've thought education was the answer, what do we have? Racial strife, conflict, stealing. Milwaukee and Chicago are leading the nation in murders. See, education was supposed to solve all those problems. They can't. It never will. Because it's not connected to the Creator. Why is it true? Verse 19. Having hardened their heart, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge every kind of impurity. The ESV translates it this way. They have become callous. So I worked my way through college, at least my undergrad, by working in a rebar factory. Now, even though we wore leather gloves, working with rebar is murderous to the hands. I wound up developing calluses that were so thick on my hands that I would go home and sometimes I would reach out and grab hot pots. And my wife would be going, grab! Hey, Gary, grab a hot pot or one of those pads. And I would just pick it up and put it over because I never felt the fact that it was actually burning my hands. The calluses were just too thick. In the same way, Paul is saying that as we live in ignorance towards God, we develop a hardened heart that has a callus upon it. So that as we sin, as we pursue after things of this world, we don't realize what we're doing is heaping in burning coals that are destroying us. No longer feeling guilt or shame. No longer feeling the Holy Spirit's tug as He wants to draw us to repentance. Paul writes, don't live as the Gentiles live. He's writing in his culture, the Roman culture. And by the way, I almost want to write, if you're in math, you know how that equal sign with the little squiggly line above it, what it means? It's proximate. If I were to write the Roman culture, I could write one of those and say American culture. We live in almost a one-to-one correlation. And Paul's writing to this church who has ultimately been delivered out of this culture and yet are tempted to go back to it, to live in it, to relate to it. And he's saying, no! Come out of it. You're different. Don't live that way. Don't live as if you're still dead. Here's the big idea for today. Before you can escape the futility of living like you're dead, you have to hear the voice of Jesus. You have to be connected to the current of life. That's only in Christ. The key for transformation is being connected to that current. And today, what I want to do is I want to give you two keys. Two keys and then a test. A personal test that you can go home, check yourself anytime. So two keys in a test. Two keys to transformation. The first one is this. Remember to change your connection. Remember to change your connection. Again, in our text. Excuse me. Paul writes in verse 20, you, however, did not come to know Christ in that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him according to the truth that is in Christ, or is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desire. I've alluded to this a little earlier, but many believers attempt to live a transformed life without being connected to power. If they live, or they live like they are still connected to a dead battery. They're not carrying the current of a living Savior in them. We've got to change our connection. Paul again has written, put off your old self. Take it off like you're taking off a change of clothing. Take it off because your identity has changed. Now the question is, how do we take off that old self? And what does it mean? I think verse 25 gives us a clue. I have not read that before, so take a look back at verse 20, or down to 25. Paul there writes, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. Here's our clue. Putting off our old self is to stop the practices that belong to a dead way. In this case, like lying. For Paul, this is a common theme that he writes about over and over and over in his books or in his letters to the churches. It was a common theme because it's part of our human experience. It's part of who we are. It's part of our struggle. For instance, if you were to look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, you would see this. Paul there writes, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self. Pause here for a second. I want you to see something that's in Colossians. Paul there says, take off your old self with its practices. Why is that important? Take off your old self with its practices. Paul is not saying, remember what my mom used to say? I said it last week. Whenever I left the house, she'd say, be good. Paul is not saying, oh, be good. Instead, Paul is telling us, take off the dead and put on that identity of life with its practices. Get rid of the dead. Live in the life. He's not saying, in your best attempt, be good. He's simply saying, live with what God's already done. It's changing our connection. Let me highlight back in Ephesians. I want to highlight the parallels that I see in verses 22 and 24. In verse, I'm going to pull up four of those, but in verse 22, there's the parallel of the old person. Put off the old person and put on, in verse 24, the new person. Verse 22 says, the old person accords or is part of the former way of life. Verse 24 says that the new person is accord or connected to what? God. Verse 22 says that the old self is corrupted through its desires. And verse 24 says that the new person is created in righteousness and holiness. Verse 22 says its desires, that the desires ruined the old person, were based on deceit. Verse 24 says that righteousness and holiness of the new person are based on truth. Those are the parallels that are running. And we have this choice. What are we going to be connected to? Now, as an unbeliever, I don't have a choice. But the moment I come to the Savior and He makes me part of His family, He brings life, now I have a choice. I can pretend that I'm alive over here, or I can come over here and be connected to life. That's a choice. Verse 22, old person. Verse 24, new person. Verse 22, corresponding to life. Verse 24, corresponding to God. Verse 22, corrupted through desires. Verse 24, created in righteousness and holiness. Verse 22, based on deceit. Verse 24, based on truth. Praise God that He has given us this letter. And life. So that first key is remember to change your connection. Second key to that transformation is remember the true connection is made for us. Remember the true connection is made for us. This is important simply because of this. If we ever fall into the trap of thinking that this is something we do with our own willpower, our own strength, our own ability, what'll happen is we will start looking at others, whether it's people or churches. And we'll go, wow, they're not as spiritual as I am. Oh, I've got the real answer. If you were spiritual like me, you wouldn't struggle. That's pride. And by the way, Scripture describes that as one of the things God hates. But if we understand that it's made for us, when we see somebody else struggle, we'll go, hey, I'll struggle with that too. Let me share with you what God has done. Not what I've done, but what He has done in me. Boy, that's a whole different attitude. Let's look at verse 23. Just because I want you to see this is not something I'm making up, but something that He has done. Verse 23. We've skipped that earlier, but we're going to pick it up now. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. God has created that new connection for us. It's not a matter of be good, but a matter of putting on the connection or connecting our minds to the one who's renewed it. The ESV in this verse, 23, I think maybe even does a better job of translating. So here we go. It says, and to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind, and verse 24, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. To be renewed is not something that we do, but something that God does in us. I'm hoping you can start to see the difference in this connection. It's not a moral self-improvement course. For a mere $25.95, you can come and I will give you this course. It'll teach you how to be better, how to be good, how to be living for. No, it's not that. It's also not some prosperity. Well, if you will do this, you will be blessed. Come on now. I got it. Who wants it? No! It's God at work, renewing us. You see, if it's something we do, then it's merely the school of legalism, where you take a moral self-improvement course, you're given the assignment to put on a set of moral clothes. But in the school of grace, your new clothes are created. God creates the new person that we put on. Wow. And here's a funny thing. The more we put on the new clothes that God created for us and creates for us, the more we actually become the person He created us to be to begin with. I don't know how that one works. I just know it's true. The more I try to be good, the less I am like myself. Or the other aspect is the more that I try to fit into this culture, the more I am less like the man that God created me to be. And the more trapped and in despair. And the more I try to self-medicate. That's what it's talking about way back up here. And the more you try to self-medicate the fact that you're in pain, the fact that you're dying. And so you try to pretend you're alive, and so you start lusting after the things of this world, and you start shoving in stuff so that you stop feeling more pain, and of course, eventually more comes, so you just shove it back in. Oh, wow. What a trap. But to be created in the new self, we put on that. Then there's freedom. The key verse in all of this is verse 23. To be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, it really draws us back to chapter 2. I mean, Paul is ultimately just restating over and over and over again. So, Ephesians 2:10. After talking about how we were dead, but now we've been brought to life, Paul shares with us the purpose. Verse 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are, listen to this, we are God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. This ideal of workmanship. Sometimes I get frustrated at the boundaries of language. Because it doesn't quite hit it. So let me struggle with this language for a second. We are God's masterpiece. We are God's work of art. This is God's investment in each one of us as individuals. This is God's investment in us as a church. To make a work of art that He can lift up and say, "This is my work. I love it." Wow. That God would call me His work of art? See, when I look in the mirror, what I often see are my blemishes. When I look at my heart, I feel the weight of them. But when I look at His Word, I'm driven to see His joy. The connection changes. The empowerment to transform. It's huge. When our minds are filled with the love of Christ and the fullness of God, going back to last week, our spirits are renewed. And we carry the current of God in His likeness. He does the work in us. We're called to seek the connection. Verses 25. Those are my 2 points. This one's going to be quick. I wish I had a whole other week. I don't. I'm preaching someplace else next week. Verse 25 through 32 is just this. It's what I call a voltmeter. It allows us to test the current. What current are we carrying? We can go back and just test it real quick. Simply by looking at that passage and then checking our own hearts. Verse 25, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. How do we treat the body? Do we speak truth or do we speak falsehoods? You'll know which current you're carrying. In your anger, do not sin. Do you notice it says don't become angry? It does not say don't become angry. It says in your anger, don't sin. So in my anger, when I sin, whose current am I carrying? I guarantee you it is not God's. But in my anger, if I seek righteousness, and I am still able to love even those who harm me, I've got God's current. For those who harm others, am I able to love them? Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Deal with your anger quickly. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anger is that's a good one. I wish I had a whole week just to deal with that one. He who is stealing must steal no longer, but must work and do something useful with his own hands, and then they may be able to, they will have something to share with those in need. How do you use what you've earned? Or better yet, do you do anything to earn? Do you live off of others' work? I mean, God's telling us that each one of us have something to do. Verse 29, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful in building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Don't harm the connection to the current. Don't grieve the Spirit by trying to live like you're dead. Check the current. Use that voltmeter. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every kind of form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This passage, and this particular part of the passage, drives me to think about the relationship between my faith in the ordinary affairs of my life. We are pushed by this section to check ourselves. How are we responding to the Holy Spirit? How's our connection? And if we find ourselves not connected, then I would encourage myself as well as you to go back to that letter, God's Word. To be driven to His grace. To remember that in Christ He forgave me, you. A great, great debt. He forgave it. So then as we hold malice towards others, we hold unforgiveness towards others, it changes our connection because our connection is with God. We understand how much we needed to be forgiven. It's much easier to forgive when we understand that. It's much easier to love. It's much easier to live in that grace. It's much easier to remember we're putting on new clothes. So, church, what are you wearing today? I hope it's not just nice clothes. The clothes of righteousness. Truth. God's love. Thanks for having us here. Let's close in prayer. Lord, I pray for Lighthouse Church, even as I pray for myself. Oh, how easy it is to become distracted, to ultimately be disconnected because we attempt to live by the old life. Lead us, Lord, to live in the current of Your love, in the current of Your Spirit, in the current of Your Word. Help us to daily go back and check that, minute by minute. Lord, may Your love so resound in this body of believers that those who are around them would be astounded and be drawn not to them but to You, so that they ultimately could have a renewed mind as well. New clothes. May other churches surrounding this body of believers be able to point to them and say, they love Jesus and this is how I know it. I see in them this. Father, I pray that You'd make Lighthouse Church a blessing to Lake Geneva, to Walworth County, to other churches in this area. May their love overshadow, because it's Your love that's overshadowing them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.